Our regular session to order at 6 o'clock. I'd like to establish a quorum, please.
Karen, here.
Greg Jones, here.
Stu Martinez, present.
Kathy Egan, here.
And the mayor's here. At this time, I'd like to have you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'd like to ask Jim if he'd lead us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
And could we also have the check-in by the staff and our other counselor at large?
Connor Parker, present.
Rick Allen, city manager.
Scott Perkins, public works, here.
Patty Morgan, administrative assistant.
Thank you very much. Are there any added agenda items at this time?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, there is one, and that, let me get this up here. Patty, is that showing our little bars on there? Can you tell?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a little. Yes, and that would be appoint the city manager as a tax administrator, and that would meet for our transit room tax ordinance requires us to have a tax administrator. It's assumed by the ordinance that it's the city manager, but we thought maybe we should just do a motion to appoint me as
okay.
City manager of that.
Thank you. 11. We have a consent agenda at this time, and are there any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the bill to deal with the payment for the wilderness hurdle.
Let the record reflect such. Are there any others? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I move so.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. This time we'd like to invite public comments, please. Hearing no public comments. Item number 7 is the finance manager position discussion.
Well, today we did some interviews for kind of call it interviews and discussions with a couple different people. Both of these folks have firms where they can contact to us and or through as an employee. And we had both Stu and Kathy interviewed, and along with myself, met them, spent an hour or so with each of them. And then the mayor had 20 minutes to a half hour all by himself. No one was part of that discussion. So he was on his own back there, and we trusted him well. He did a good job, I'm sure. So tonight we're not here to hire anyone or even go into it too much. I think I was thought that we had two good folks today that both have the ability to do the job here. And then later you can kind of give me your thoughts on that. You can email them or tell me or something of what you kind of thought today. It's a little bit different because we have a specific need. In other words, you know, you're like, when you interview a lot of times, it's this is the person we like. This is really, I described it to all of you, but I think it's really, it could be a two-step process. One is, we need to kind of get someone that can come in that's maybe at a one level, that can really kind of get us all shored up, that works with us for a few months. There's some things we do need to kind of get done and get in order. And then after that's done, there's a little bit, we'll call it more of the maintenance, the ongoing type stuff, the day in, day out things. And they're two different, often, personalities. Mm-hmm. And you talk to the one, Summer, and you know, she made it pretty clear that she likes coming in kind of doing the crisis stuff and figuring out what's wrong, getting it back together. You know, 6 months later, she's probably not as interested in plugging in the Mid-State Electric bill five times for five different water pumps. And if you think about it, she's a CPA. And why would you have $100 or $50 an hour or $75 an hour CPA doing that? So the other gentleman, I think, more could do the long term a little bit. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But I do want to hear from you guys as your kind of general thoughts on that. But the bottom line is, I'm pretty convinced we don't need a full-time finance manager. And you can share with me here if you have any thoughts on that. But as far as having a full-time manager and a full-time finance manager, two full-time people to top a town this size, I just don't think we have the workload, and we don't have the budget to sustain the work that they would do if they were working, and we don't have the budget. Now, there's two different things. One is we could afford to pay the wages, but then there's no money to go do anything. And secondly, then, if they're paying the wages and they're coming up, you're coming up with stuff. Well, when you come up with stuff, stuff costs money. So you really, your budget has to drive it all. And so we don't want to get that top heavy. So I would think, you know, your manager full time and your part time, when we look at long term, a part time finance person, whether that's 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week, probably less than 20 for sure, depending on that person and you know, what they can do. That's kind of my thoughts, and I'd like to hear from you as to, you know, you've been here now for a couple of years. You were here with the former administration and finance, and you kind of get a feel for what we've been doing. And so I want to kind of move this forward so we can get that piece solved for the next couple of years.
I just had a question. They both had previous city experience?
Yes. They both are contractors. They have companies, and so it's not as, this is a little bit different also than, say if this was employees we were sitting here talking about, we probably wouldn't say as much, but they have companies. It's just like us picking Century West over Anderson Perry. So, yes, the one individual is currently working as an interim in the city of Madras. They've hired someone that will take over in a few weeks, and she's been there since, I think, August. And she was the city of Redmond, they call it the controller. She was the city of Redmond for several years. She went out on her own. She is a licensed CPA. She worked for Oak Ridge after they had their debacle, and they were $500,000 short, and they got rid of the finance manager and manager, I think, when it was all said and done. But she went up and has helped them get back on track. She worked for the city of Bend. She's doing work right now on a major project for them, just helping them out. Again, charges by the hour, just kind of like you do with your attorney or someone else. The other gentleman owns a company, and he does interim work. He was the finance manager for, say, just go back the last 12 years. He was finance manager for the city of Sherwood, which, you know, is actually now 20-some thousand people. He was their finance manager, became their city manager, served 7 years, and left, which is twice the normal length of a city manager. The mayor's are his references, and they have. He said they have a week. They have a. It's named after him. I mean, he left popular and happy. But then he formed a company with a couple other people, and they go around. And he has been the finance manager at Newport for 9 months. Independence. You know, there's a list of them. He has a son and daughter-in-law, I believe it was, that have moved to Bend, and two grandkids. And he says his wife, I believe, they want. That's marching orders, close to grandkids. And one of them has a house or a condo thing out at Sun River. So they are, he said, whether he gets any work with us, long-term, short-term, or what role he feels that they are moving. So both of these people live in the area and have considerable city experience. But I think the technical difference was one is going to come in for 60, 90, 120 days, kind of get things straightened out. As a CPA, you pay a little more per hour, but they come in and hit it hard, and then we build our system. And then I think the other person probably better than for kind of maintaining it out. That's kind of where I'm thinking. But, you know, I'm not sure what all you guys think.
I agree. I think we're fortunate that they both like specific type of jobs. And she definitely said how much she likes getting into a messy puzzle and straightening it out. She loves that. That's what she wants to do, and then she likes to go. And he appears to be more the long range, keep it all going, check on everything. So I think personally, through this afternoon thinking it over, I think it would be we're lucky to have that combination come to us right now. I think it's perfect timing.
Well, they both definitely have the qualifications. The one individual is currently finishing a project in Madras. Definitely has the experience of getting in and weeding out, you know, different areas of, you know, the technical things of why something was placed here and here. As a lot of us know, we're just coming back from a finance person that was in charge of our finances, that when they left, you know, everything was in chaos. So we do need to get our books in order, and because without your books in order, you don't know where you're at. And I think the city needs to know where they're at so that the manager knows how to put his budget together. And so if this person comes on board, gets that taken care of, and then because frankly that's what she wants to do. She doesn't want anything long term. And I don't think we could afford to have someone full time doing that. So then this other person doesn't really want to do anything, get in and, you know, he's more of the future forecast type person with a lot of credentials, very well versed in the long-term forecasting and planning, which would help the manager work on the budget from this point forward. The person on the short-term side has experience with Casell, already knows the same programs. The person on the long-term has actually written programs. So, you know, we're getting the best of both worlds. And like Kathy mentioned, and Rick has mentioned, they're, you know, they're local people. One is moving over here for the grandkids. And so it just goes to show that there's very, very, and as we know with Jerry, hired very qualified people moving into our area that we can tap into. I think here's another case of being able to tap into two. And even at the point where if we need the person that is short-term to start weeding the problems out, she can come back and help us do that. So, you know, here we're going to be setting up pretty good for the terms in both long-term and short-term.
I think for me that, you know, Kathy pretty much highlighted the point of, you know, the short-term and the long-term, and identified them as being what they are and what they want to do. I think the idea that we need to have our processes looked at, straightened out, quantified, and actually laid out for us, and that's what this short-term person will do. And then we need somebody to come along that will follow through on those processes and make sure that we're rolling down the road and sticking to them. And And that's where I see the bad, you know, like Kathy said, the very fact that, you know, they both got this level of interest, and our need fits that. So I'm like Kathy that, you know, we're fortunate to have them show up at this time. I mean, you know, always worry about the money. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of money laying there, and, oh, yeah. And I know the city manager's as tight budgeted as anybody, so we're safe there. Thank you.
Well, I think, you know, you're going to pay a little more an hour, but way less hours.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's a little bit, we probably, we tried to call it down the middle. You know, for a year and a half, and that was they were probably overpaid for some of the work they did, underpaid for other, and you kind of got the middle. I'll just leave it at that as far as the describing it. In this case, you know, you're going to pay for that upper level, but you just don't need a full time. We don't need 40 hours a week of that kind of work. We don't need 20. And example, now there's obviously in Manders, there's another helper. She works 30 hours a week in Manders. They got 7,000 people, and they run an airport and have a police department and other things. So that just shows you, you know, 8 hours here a week, you can get a lot done. And maybe 40 just gives you time to muck around, get into things you shouldn't. But we'll see. You know, if you need to be 10 hours or 12 hours, you know, we'll know that. An example, one of the things we need to get done is, remember our SDCs haven't been separated out. We inherited the districts, kind of came in a lump sum. Well, that, you know, needs to be, before our next budget year, we need to have that separated. And that needs to be done, and, you know, by law, you need to keep it separate. Now, we can track out how many dollars there are, but we just need to make sure that it's done separately. That's something that you know, in this next 3 months, I want to get set before we start our next budget. So, hearing, you know, basically I'll move forward in talking with them and kind of coming up with a plan, and we'll come back. Whether or not it's an employee, as she was saying, it gets into some issues on the contract. If you're supervising another employee, the IRS wants you to be in it. You are an employee because they get more taxes that way. It gets withdrawn from a paycheck. The IRS doesn't like it if you're a contractor because they think that's just a way to avoid taxes. You can write off expenses. And it's an IRS issue. So we'll have to work that through with Jeremy and the two people. And one could be one way and one could be another way. But anyway, you two, any comments from you guys?
Just to be clear, you're going to hire the one gal for a short period of time to get things straight, and then the long term.
We're going to negotiate, talk to these two. That's where I'm leaning to. Mm-hmm. We aren't promising jobs here tonight, and they listen to the tape tomorrow. There's no job. I got to work on their proposal where they've asked more than I would like to pay, so we have to start working on that. So we're not promising anyone a job, but you've got it.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
That was the same question I wanted to know, is whether or not you were planning on hiring both the people at the same time.
No.
So that you have a troubleshooter and then you have one continue with what she's found out and set up.
You know, I think based on these two folks, I probably worked with her for a while, but then during that time, work with him. They haven't moved over yet anyway, so start working with him. Then he can plan that if they're going to move this way. And of course, if he doesn't move over, he can come over and stay in the condo. And, you know, if it takes him 6 months, but, you know, probably roll him in February, March or something, and then have her work in the meantime. That type of thing. That's kind of, you know, the broad sense. We do a contract with her, whether it's an employee or as a company, for longer than that. Kathy and I talked about that tonight. You know, six months to a year, so that because you can then bring her in whenever you want her. You know, if you want, it's just like now, you use them when you need them.
Right.
And if it's nothing in a month, it's zero bill.
Right. So,
whatever they do, there'll be no benefits, no benefits, or insurance, or any of those things are going to be below any threshold. So. That's one thing to remember. So when you see a wage, and I was explaining that, it's amazing when you pay out $1,000 a month and if someone works 20 or 25 hours, you can do the math on that, how many dollars it adds, and you do retirement and days off and vacation and sick leave and holiday pay. You can pay someone $25 an hour, you could go pay them $50, and if they're not getting benefits, it's about the same. But yet when we see $50, we say, oh my God, what are we doing paying them $50 an hour? They'll work for $25. Yeah, $25 as an employee with health insurance, it comes out about the same. So.
Okay. Conrad? No comment? Okay.
Can I go?
Sure.
Okay. I think we're in. One other thing I thought about, he brought up too the fact that because he's been a city manager before, he knows what it's like for Rick and he can be supportive in that position, and if crunch times come or something, he can do something that would help alleviate the weight on Rick's shoulders, and I think it's just kind of a double bonus for us. So.
I ran across him a lot over the years. In fact, Mayor Kitty, he was actually a finalist when you hired me the first time.
Oh.
You interviewed him. But he was our choice in Madras in 2001 as city manager. And I called and offered him the job. I was mayor at the time. Offered him the job, and he turned it down because he was finance director in Sherwood, and they were booming, and then they were just offering him the job as manager. So he said, my family's here. I'll stay in Sherwood. And so I didn't get him. So he saw. I did talk to Roger Jordan. Gave it a thumbs up.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Item 8 is planning permit fees.
Okay, so look at that. What we got to do, look at your resolution. I gave you two that are two-sided. You guys in the audience should have, you kind of got a staff report from Deborah, and then the resolution. Tonight we're just talking. So this is kind of like a work session type thing. We'll bring this back for our December meeting. We'll talk back. We probably won't have a work session in November because it's like the day before Thanksgiving. So, but anyway, this will come back for our December meeting. We'll pass a resolution, and the back side shows you the proposed rates. I gave you a big 11 by 17 handout to kind of let you compare Matters, is it Matters Revens Sisters Prindle? And should be this big. If you kind of want to compare,
I think
across.
It's still sitting on the copier. I don't.
Well, then. Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is this one?
So.
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, I have a big one too. She'll bring it out. She can kind of see a little better.
Okay. She's bringing the bigger one.
But she has one. If you want to look at her page two, you know, people like to compare. First of all, you know, the numbers are high, but you'll see that, you know, that's what they are. And we just have never had a charter. You know, you would pay these kind of fees if currently through the county. This will kind of give you an idea. There's a ton of fees. Overall, there's like 50. Is one too high, one too low? You tell me. I mean, they're not.
Where do they come from, Rick?
Well,
I mean, where are the ones we see here? Are these a real for these cities, and then
these are actuals.
Okay, and then we're proposing
the
ones that are for Lapine.
Yes.
Okay.
So what you looked at, obviously, you end up seeing, well, what are other people charging, and you'll see it's kind of all over the gambit. You try to estimate how much time it's going to cost in staff. See, we have to pay Deborah on a contract, but again, if not, you'd be paying an employee. And so you kind of guess if it's, you know, you could take the first one, an annexation. On Deborah's deal, do you see that? Take an annexation on page 2 of her document. Yeah, so many other names. It's a letter one. Kind of look at the comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
Prineville's $3,500 for an annexation. Redmond's $929. Now they may then have some sort of deal where it's in so much an acre, so much a lot. It's kind of like we learned on our business license. Sisters was $1,891. Madras is $3,000 and Lapine is $3,500. Well, we have to have that in here. Just to rest at ease, our city limits is estimated by the LCDC to be the size it will be for 40 years. In other words, we won't annex land for 40 years. Now, tonight we can debate whether that's too high. You know, I'm teasing.
Of course.
We're not going to sit here, I'm assuming, and debate a fee that won't be used for 40 years. But we have to have it. So is it 500 too high? Heck, I don't know. I'm going to pass that on to my person who takes my place 35 years from now. But that's not true on all. But look at the appeal. I think that's a good one. And I think Deborah tried to, you know, we got a range there. And I actually don't know how they decide on the range. Appeal is when someone wants to appeal something to the council, a planning commission decision or something. 1,500 in Prineville, now 4,000 in Redmond. 1,500 in Madras, 1,700 in Sisters. I don't know why Redmond, again, why is theirs so high? You each should have that, don't you?
Yeah.
This one. Yeah. So, and that's what it costs someone to appeal a decision. You know, there's a whole list here. You try to decide how much time it'll take, and then if you decide down the road that it takes longer or less, the idea is that the person causing it should pay for it. I mean, in other words, grandma sits over in her house, she's lived in it for 20 years and doesn't add on, doesn't change anything, she pays her property taxes. Now the guy next door, he's always adding on, then he doesn't like the decision, he appeals it. Well, should she be paying for all of his processes? You try to recover the cost that they, you know, to, but one appeal is long, one is short. One's complicated, one's easy. It's you just have to come up with a price, and then you cover the cost on one, and you might not on the next.
So what's the, what is the range there for?
I don't know. Deborah, this, she would have to explain it.
Okay.
So, you know, so we try to give you comparisons. It's based on what we believe is the time it takes. Well, Pine's never had a building program. There's probably some that are too low, some that might be too high in how we operate. But you got to start, and you won't know until we get there.
Okay. Council comments?
So it's like guesswork?
Sort of.
There's no way around it. I mean, how do we know how long? But so what you do is you have to, it's kind of like if we pick anything. I mean, it takes so long to take a Ford motor out of a pickup. One shop says it takes 3 hours. The other one says I can do it 2.5. One takes 3.5. So that's kind of what she did by listing the other cities. It kind of gives you an idea. Obviously, we don't know how long it takes because we've never done it.
I just, from reading the material, I think that we should definitely go on allocating our service fees on size rather than value. It sounds like the value process is kind of sketchy and long, and Deborah had outlined that in the fee comparison chapter of her, I think.
Of her letter?
Yes, yeah. On page 2, just of her chart. But it sounds like trying to go along value-based, you know, she said that they're long and drawn out and rarely accurate, so whatever fee type we go on, maybe go on.
But I think she's saying the reason she's saying is size. If I'm going to go at a 500-foot bedroom, it's 500 feet. Mm-hmm. If you ask someone how much you're going to spend on adding this bedroom, and you know that the fee is based on the value, Ken's going to say, well, I can add on this bedroom for $1,000. And then Karen's going to come in, and she's just, you know, she's going to say, well, I think $10,000. Now, Doug would be having a fit out there, but she's going to pay 10 times what Ken did because it's based on value. And, you know, are you doing it yourself? Are you hiring a volunteer? But the fact is, it's the same work for us. So I think that's what Deborah's saying. Do it on size.
Yeah.
If it's 500 square feet, it's 500 square feet for the permit. We will subsidize planning. Now, some cities have tried to, during the boom, you know, they were trying to make them self-sufficient. But there isn't enough volume here to do that. So we are, with tax dollars, property tax dollars, subsidizing. This will just recover part. We'll know after a year kind of what we take in. You know, new subdivisions, we really don't have any on the map right now. You know, a lot of these, you know, I bet 2 or 3 years from now, most of these you might have never touched. Remember, the county would go a month without a permit. So this isn't going to be knocking the door down. That's the other thing. You know, how many new houses have been built in the city limits of Lapine in the last year?
No brainer.
I don't think.
How many?
Zero.
Right. So, you know, how many, one would have been complicated for us would have been Little Deschutes Lodge too. You know, if it had been in the city at that, I mean, it had been in our system, because you go by units and all of that stuff. But you're going to see more. I bet it's mostly remodeled. You know, someone's going to add on a little bit, add a carport. It'll be like the home occupations you just went through with Urbank. That gives you an idea. Some of those are going to go quick and some will go much more complicated. So I think you'll see some home occupation. In fact, you want to go, where is home occupation in here? Find that.
Rick, I understand, I may be incorrect, but Crescent Creek is looking at adding quite a few new homes. They've sent out some letters to the homeowners. Does that fall into that?
Home occupation is
15.
$100 plus type of materials. On the back of your ordinance, resolution. The resolution, that's just Lapine Rains. Go down to line 15, home occupation, $100 plus time material. See, what we try to do is, I think the thought there was, you know, keep it affordable.
Yeah.
You know. And then if you take a lot more time, we can charge. And what some communities do not have to ask everyone, if they think it's going to be 2 or 3 hours, then you pay, you have to pay a deposit. Then you get a refund. If it's less, you pay for the overage. Crescent Creek, that deal is, and I've had a couple people ask about it. My feeling is, and Don's, you know, runs the place, so he may know, but my feeling is that is really part of keeping their options current. In other words, when you go out and get a subdivision approved, they expire. And anyone that has that wants to make sure that they don't lose the rights that they had. So they tend to, I think what's going on, this is refiling, and so you get noticed and all of it, but it's really to start the clock again for 5 years. I don't get the impression, I mean, if you just think about it, how many houses have been built in the last year?
Yeah.
Who's going to go push out a road, pave, curb, or not curb out there, but pave, put in water, sewer, and power and all of that, if the demand in the last 12 months was zero? I mean, I think you can kind of figure that out quickly. I think this is really about preserving the options for the future, rather than in the next 12 months you're going to see anyone building. But that doesn't mean they aren't, but that's just kind of...
Okay. Student again? Conrad?
Just looks like a lot of numbers. I don't know where they come from or what they mean.
It is a lot of numbers.
So we're number 9 is website process update.
So on this now, what we'll do is get this. If you don't have any objections. I mean, this is one. I want to go back to this deal. This is one your builders and people are going to call. So. Based on lack of anyone having anything that they're saying, we'll move forward on this premise. And I think what I'm going to do is, it's a little bit dangerous, but you know, we'll put it. We'll maybe have a little story in the newspaper ahead of time. And obviously, we'll have. I think we'll get these fees out to the Central Oregon COBA, Central Oregon Builders Association. Those types of things kind of show the comparison so that people know. And when we have our meeting, as a night, it's possible you could expect company.
Okay.
Just so that we're sure. Now, we need to do it because we take effect January 1. So, at that December meeting, we would need to approve it because otherwise we have no fee.
Well, it's 30 days, right?
No, that's why we're doing a resolution. You'll notice that's good for 6 months if you actually look at the first paragraph.
Okay.
And that's so that we can, A, convert it probably to an ordinance and also fix any little problems that pop up.
Okay.
I was going to show you the website. If Patty could fire up that phone down there, I could show you that front page. Ken, you want them to see the...
Sure.
We're just where we are, which won't do much for you. Patty, can you...
Yeah, I haven't worked with
them. Do you know how to lower the screen? There you go.
Mostly.
Magic.
Space age.
Patty, make sure that that controller is on E. Controller down below.
Under
the counter, E. We'll see if we get a picture. Oh, if I can add that one, that's actually, we'll come back to that. Okay, where's our website? I bet I got it right. Now, you could, if someone could dim the lights, I just got to train people on all the mechanical electronics in this building. Okay.
There we go.
And maybe I can do. Not sure if it'll work on this computer now. Yeah, it won't work the way I. Let's see.
You can do.
Let's see. Yeah, you're the computer guy.
Control minus will make the web page smaller to fit.
Perfect. Wow. There's our Microsoft group. So, one thing to know, this is page one, and we're still working on it. Our team of Vanna White's over here, they were hard on the poor guy, but he did come back, and I think Ken ended up feeling much better about that. We went to the round saw blade, they're going to work on the Dolphin, but we got rid of the
brakes.
Town, small, small town, bright future, or something. You kind of see how he went and put this over the top. This behind picture, one of the things that the mayor wanted was he thought this was in too far, the picture was too big in the back, so he kind of truncated it out. Don't look at the picture directly. This is actually Christmas Fort Rock behind it. You kind of see the other end. So we told him Fort Rock, while it's in the area, it's not area enough. So, but yeah, this is concept. And it's hard because your brains take you there. He said, I don't care what you put there. But this is a somebody fishing. I met with Jensen, Mike Jensen. Okay. Jensen, and he sent me several pictures and see if we can buy the rights from him, because you just can't go on a website and put any picture out there. So, and I did get some good ones and I sent them to AHA today.
Good.
And Mike and I have been going back and forth on different options.
Okay.
But the idea is you're going to get someone fishing on the Deschutes, if you can get a kid, fly fishing. Then this one will scroll, four or five times?
Four times. You see it there, the little dots in the bottom?
Okay. There'll be four different pictures. And we got a bucket, something from it. We wanted a celebration, so like the rodeo, he gave me a couple, Mike did. Somebody flying in the air with the buck and shoots behind and the typical type thing. So we'll have kind of a mixture of things there. The idea was, this has to be a little bit tourism related. We talked a lot about that because, look, people will come to the city website often before the chamber, and especially in La Pine. So we want to promote the business and tourism, and that's why community, business. So that's where we'll work with you a little. When you click on that, then what do you get? And what's it going to say? And it'll go to EDCO, but it could go to a maps of our industrial park and, all kinds of stuff. The city services. Down here, this was our meeting here a couple weeks ago. That will change, and they will just kind of come and go as they come on and rotate up. If you want to see them all, you click there. This was kind of news or any other announcements that goes on. Over here, we're going to change these up. We definitely will keep the city code. We're thinking, Ken, you guys, library, we'd take off.
Business license?
Yeah, we'll put business license. Proclamations, so all anyone wants to look up proclamations, and that was the one that was important to the team. Online bill pay, so you want to pay your utility bill. This is, of course, the garage sales is the one we talked about. That, they're just doing this with a few cities. It is the number one used part of the website. If you want to draw people to your website, what this will do is We'll have a place. People come here. If you're going to have a garage sale, you put in your address, the dates, and the time. You come here and click, and you click on that. It actually puts the map up. It's connected to the map. You know where the house is, and it's got the hours of the garage sale. When that garage sale is done on Saturday, that one goes away because it's automatic. Then if you want to go garage sailing, you can hit print, and it's going to list them all. You print out a sheet. It's going to say all five garage sales with little marks on the map of each one of them. People will like it. So that's anyway, just kind of the concept. We'll be getting new pictures back here. We'll be getting new pictures here. Go ahead.
Greg?
Oh. No, I think he handled every request we had quite well. I've enjoyed working with Brian. He's been great. I'm anxious to see that picture, that background picture,
yeah.
rather than having Fort Rock. But
just that he's great to work with. I had some concerns. I still have a little concern about that top bar when you know the darkness of it and everything. He lightened up the buttons on the left. Or on the right, excuse me, and it really made a difference, and it's easy to see. I think he's on target. He's easy to work with. He knows what he's doing, and really, we are getting one of the state of the art websites. There is a new turn in websites now in the process of how they develop them, because the way they're currently written. Is that if you open a certain website on a small small laptop, you don't get, it'll only go down so far before you start losing picture. They now have a new process just in this last 6 months, where when you go from laptop to laptop or to computer screen to computer screen, this thing will proportionally shrink it down. So that you get to keep the whole picture and you get to see everything that's there. So, and they're going to do it as a test case for us, and it's taken off in the marketplace. So, what do you say, $5,000?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Something like that. But anyway, yeah, it's great to work with. So
I'd be happy to talk to you about that if you want sometime.
Sure.
But they showed us, this company has lots of websites, and all they do is cities, and they're Oregon-based. And they're all over the country. And like I said, they got West Lynn, Lake Oswego, the bigger Oregon cities. It's Vancouver, Washington they're doing. So they've got some biggies. And he was saying, the mayor was really pushing him on that resizing it. I don't know the terms of any of it. But it was just how it all works. And Ken had to push him hard because, you know, he admitted that they're starting to go there more. But there's with all the little iPads and all the different little things, there's so many sizes out there. And it's complicated and it's more interesting, but big improvement compared to what we've got. I think people will like it. Now next then, once we kind of agreed on this, now he's ready, they'll start working on these other pages, and we hired every
idea.
Every idea is going to kind of help with some of the wording. And it'll just kind of have to go through. Like I say, we'll take off some things, and you'll see, well, we had that added. So when it pops up, you'll get the weather. You know, it'll automatically just be there. So you're trying to do things that will draw it to it. We want it to be pro-business, we want it to be recreation, but also meet the needs of the city. And I think we're there.
Kathy?
What's the word? Ordinances. Would they be on a slide like that, or is that going to be in deeper?
They may be under something else. It could be one of the chamber one may come off. We may change. You know, we may end up one that says ordinances, resolutions, or something like that. We haven't actually went over this stuff with it. But you know, we know, and actually probably that one could come off of here. Because you have recreation and chamber. They're both really the same.
Yeah.
So you might get rid of that and, yeah.
Well, those pictures that we can scroll through, is that something we can change if we have a big event coming up in the city? Could we take one of the ones off and replace it with a new picture, like with a banner saying, you know, it's this time and date, or those four things stuck until we get together with the website designers and have that change.
We'll be able to change the pictures ourselves.
Yeah.
So if you want to look at 4th of July and rodeo, you can put four pictures up there that represent 4th of July and rodeo.
Cool. That was my question. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. We'll learn it as we go, but I do think people will like it.
Oh, I do too.
And they're going to use it a lot.
I think the garage sales is a classic winner.
Yeah.
You know, just a passing comment. My daughter does this all the time down in California where she lives. She goes to the city website, prints off the list, and out she goes. Yeah.
I even have one for divorce lawyers. That's next to it after the husbands and wives.
You have a personal interest in it?
I mean, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
So, okay. Any other comments? Anything? Okay. We're going to make this a short meeting, guys. City Hall sidewalk project.
I want to come back to that. I want to show a picture, but I got to find it. So,
while
you guys are doing maybe comments from yourselves or something. I'll
okay.
But we do have that added agenda items.
Yes.
And
that'll be next after this.
So let's go ahead. We'll come back to this. I want to
Okay. Good. Let's go to item 11, which is tax administrator, and the city manager is a tax administrator for the purposes of meeting state law.
No, does our ordinance?
Our ordinance
requires that. Well, we have a tax administrator. We've never, you know, ever needed one, but and it doesn't say that it's just, there is one, and so we thought that it would be good to make it very clear. The tax administrator is the person designated by the council as a tax administrator. Obviously, you only have one administrator, so you assume it's the city manager, but we thought, Jeremy and I thought it would be wise to go ahead and designate myself as the tax administrator, and then when whoever, that's just something that we need to do occasionally. And it would be the city manager. So we just need a motion in a second.
All right. Do we have a motion to appoint the city manager as the city tax administrator?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions, further comments? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Okay, and the you know, we're working on we have a motel that has not paid transient room tax for now probably 19 months. We sent a certified letter and got no response from me. We then sent another certified letter from our legal counsel laying out the issues, no response, and we're now past that by a few weeks. So now we will have to get into,
the legal end.
Yeah, just stuff that isn't as fun. And so you will hear and read, no doubt, at some point, more. And so what we're doing right now is estimating the tax based on previous tax, and Patty's digging out the archives for me. She'll have that to me in the morning. We will then estimate the tax, and then of course per our ordinance there's penalties, interest, and other things, and it's quite a complicated ordinance. It's one you have adopted back at the beginning. This was done before the current law firm, so this is back original. It spells out what you do.
Okay.
And so we will be doing it.
Okay. Do you want to move to that previous one?
I was going to find it on. I got to find it on here.
Okay. Well, let's move on to public comment. Is there any public comment?
I had a question on the planning fees and maybe a comment on the website. I was just curious. I mean,
could you go up to the?
Oh, okay.
Name and address.
Don't have a rank.
Hit that red button there. see if it works for
Hello? Me. I'm Jerry Albert from Big River Drive, south of town. And my question on the planning ordinance was if there had been any consideration or if it's even permissible in the world of ordinances for any consideration of special case situations, exemptions or whatever, for example, for a nonprofit. If somebody wanted to put up a veterans or a healthcare thing or some building within city limits that might be a nonprofit, authorized 501c entity, would that be something that would be subject to the same ordinary regular fees and costs, or is there some exception process that's been envisioned?
There, basically, no. What happens in that case is they would come ask the council, to waive the fee. And probably the best for us, like we do with water. In other words, if you're paying $500 worth of fees, you find $500 to. The problem with it is, and the reason you don't have it in there, because the answer is no. In other words, schools, well, they're nonprofit. Well, you know, they pay big building fees, and there's no way that's all waived. And everyone's got a cause. So a church is a nonprofit. You know, you start going down the line, and everyone, it just doesn't work. Because, again, we still have to, they don't pay property taxes in some cases. And so, everyone else is paying for it. So, yeah, if it was something that the council wanted to waive the fee, then we would address it and kind of see how it's done at that time. But it's kind of like STCs. STCs are not waived. They, there's things you do, but you got to make sure. And believe me, the council doesn't want to get into all that because it's,
Gotcha. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And the other piece was more of an observation, perhaps, on the website. And if there's anything I can help with later, let me know. But I just noticed, where you've got the garage sale feature, which I know is a popular item, as well as the bill pay feature, that introduces potentially serious security concerns around a hacker-type breach. Online bill pay involves usually the transmission or provision of a credit card number or a bank routing number that comes into your system and may be stored there, whereas the ability to upload or post garage sale information means that there is a path for external third-party people to be able to get into and write into the website, and that's sort of how malicious code can be uploaded into a website. If they were looking to get at the bill pay credit information, you've opened a door, and those doors can be locked, they can be made secure, and they need to be made secure. And it's an important consideration. So I don't know if this is all going to be outsourced to a third party to run and operate, but that would be something to make sure that you're aware of, because there would be potential liabilities.
It's through their
if it were breached.
Yeah. I think what we have planned here is that all the input will be internal.
On the garage sale?
Yes, they'll come in and fill out a form.
Oh, okay.
And we'll data enter here.
Oh, all right. So
well, well, that's actually not true, but
no,
no. But what is? They fill out the form. It comes in. We have to decide to move it forward because someone could be faking something. They could be saying Kitty's having a garage sale and she's not. But you're right. I mean, as far as our website, we'll have the security. And then, like I say, this company's doing Vancouver, Washington, with a million people. I think that whatever we'll work through all the security type things that.
It's a good thing to be aware of, because even Bank of America and Citigroup and other large financial organizations have in fact been breached, so something to be aware of.
But I'm not aware that, Rick, that we even considered having a third person do the data entry. I mean, granted...
We're not they enter it, I believe, on a fillable form, just like a fillable form. But I believe that's what it
okay.
is. Just like a complaint or anything else. They send it and it's going to be typed there. Or if they're going to fill out a parade permit, those are all fillable forms. This is a fillable form, but detail.
Okay.
The The bill pay is going to be a third party.
Yes. It'll go through Visa, MasterCard, third party vendor. Every city has bill pay online. So again, I mean, I don't know the security side. I'm not going to. Someone else smarter than me will figure that out. Yeah, security is an issue, and I'm hoping that those...
We'll go down that road of security.
Yeah. Whoever's our Visa provider.
It's a good thing to ask about.
Yeah, it is.
Perhaps run an audit on the security that they're providing to be able to establish in the event that there was any future liability, that you've taken reasonable due precautions, at least through the performance of an audit, to ensure that there's some compliance.
Yeah, I agree. Good. Yeah, definitely. If anybody can get in anything anymore, it's pathetic.
Thank you, Jerry. Good question. Good comments. Any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll move to council comments.
If you want to go back,
are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you saw it a little bit, but I just wanted to make sure this was, of course, in front of all those people. Harder to.
Yeah.
So this is our City Hall project out in front of us. So we'll start down at the corner. The next rendition you'll see in front of City Hall, we're going to take out, this is, all of these represent a bush or tree, and that looks, I mean, it's just too many bushes, and all that, and bushes are more of a pain, so we're going to end up having some grass in some of this, and there's some existing bushes and trees, and then you start to see here, we just got, that's a tree, so we start putting bushes around the bottom of the tree, and so we kind of said, hey, back off on some of that, so, but all of this is grass, the little dots are grass. And then these are street trees. So you'll have street trees spread along. We'll get a kind of a colored picture. This was just our first draft. And, you know, architects put in lots of stuff. And so you see lots of those round things. But, it should look pretty good. Move on out. This is obviously the sidewalk. We get 8 foot, and then we narrowed it a little to save some money as we kind of, it's kind of terracing out to the edge of nowhere. So we head out there, is a little narrower. And again, these are street trees that would be balanced along here. And there's that sign, the one out here that tells you events.
And they're putting lights on that, or will that be this?
I don't know if that's in this one.
Okay.
See, there's nothing on the sign right now, so we probably shouldn't light it up.
Who pays for the lights?
Well, we would. It's on our
property. Is that movable?
Yeah.
Okay. Chainsaw.
So anyway, just want you to know, I mean, trying to keep you abreast of the thing, so there'll be another, the architect, and landscape architect we met here, and she's from Sisters, and so she's worked on a lot of projects up there, the Alpine setting, and so we'll get another drawing here soon. We're getting one now, we're starting to get one, although there's not much landscaping out on Huntington. So we're getting that. The other thing I'll just show you here, this is what Scott and I, we're going to have out at where it says Alpine, or over on Hinkle, the water, where the water tank is and the old district headquarters, that is a sign that's going to go up there, and that one will be coming.
Very nice.
And that is going to be about like $400. And the concept here is just listening from the other day a little bit, trying to craftsman up the. We did just have two posts coming up, but then this is going to be kind of to where it's a craftsman, where it's shaved, and this will be rough. And trying to kind of give, and this is just there's bushes and some boulders underneath there. We're not going to have grass out here or run water out to that or anything, but it's already got some natural landscaping, but that would be the sign out there.
Great.
Nice. That's all.
Okay.
Fun little things.
Council?
Oh. I have two quick comments. One, it seems like as we're going to use this projection screen more and do more presentations, it might be worth to invest in a laser pointer or clicker so we can, from a distance, change slides And instead of having the manager stand up and point with his finger, might be a little smoother to have the laser so we can show everyone and we don't have to move around other staff workers. So that's just one thing I was thinking about. And then another little thing, my dad is the drum teacher at the high school and he is doing a play, The Christmas Carol, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the evenings, and he'd love people from the community to come. So that's my last comment.
That this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Yes.
What time?
I believe it's 7. Thank you, Stu.
You know.
Okay, go ahead.
We were at the summit Friday, and I guess the largest question, biggest, most numerous, whatever, question that kept coming up had two basic topics that we've talked about. One is the wood carver and the flea market. And the questions were, what are we going to do with it? What are we doing with it? And so I just thought that's what I was asked about most.
We've talked about that some, obviously. I mean, officially and formally, the flea market is, as we haven't engaged. I went out there when I was here before and met with them and walked and toured the property and met the family. It was grandma, mom, daughter, and I don't know if there was a granddaughter. So I had the 4 generations. And they have, they are on the same page. And they have a groundskeeper in a camp trailer I think, a pit bull. And, you know, it's interesting, those kind of meetings. And, that one, we just left that alone at that time, and we have not re-entertained any discussions there. That would, I think, would be higher on the list once we get going here. I think that's one we would start into. And I have not researched the issues, the various issues there. There are plenty. It's just a matter of working your way down through it. The wood yard, you know, he has now, what's today, the 15th, called the 15th of November, so December, January. So he's got 3 months till about the 15th of February to comply. And that is signs, buildings, access from ODOT, all kinds of things, camp trailers off the property, and all the things necessary to comply. And he was given 6 months. So, you know, he can have none of it done, and if, as long as it's 5 months and 29 days, that doesn't matter. He has 6 months. He's been moving things. I was out there last week, the week before, and I've actually met with him this last week. And he's spending some time working on his projects that he sells because he has to still make money. And then he spends the other half the time picking up and siting some of the buildings. His plan is that, you notice, if you drive, you notice there's that little row of, it's like a little village, a little row of huts, little western, like, buildings. They're like 200 square feet. His plan is, well, A, he'll sell those, and then B, those would become kind of a little bit of an art, and actually Jerry and I spent some time today talking about that some sort of kind of art deal. And he has a lady that does beads and other things that's has a little spot there, and I don't know quite the arrangement. And then inside the teepee, there's a door on the teepee, and I don't know what goes on in that teepee, but I think that's maybe another something. And then what he planned, it's funny, I had to ask him why the fence is back so far. If you look, the property lines within that fence he's put up is back further. What he plans on, what he's going to do is build these huts, these little cabins, and then he's going to line them along there, and that way they're still behind the line. So when you drive down the road, you would see the buildings finished, and then behind it's a fence that keeps you from seeing the debris. So that definitely would look a lot better if that gets done. He plans on bringing the fence, the rest of the way down. The the access is right by the mailbox, so that's kind of the ODOT access, and he has sent some paper in that says they have an access. I sent it to Pat Predikin at ODOT and haven't heard back on that. But those are all just some of the issues that will have to be dealt with. Now, he has to move off the first two lots to the north. One is owned by a gentleman named Jim Hill, something like that. And he is used to be a chief of police in Eugene, lives in Bend now. The other gentleman lives in Bend, I believe, also, and he's represented by a local realtor. Both have called me, and they're both frustrated, you know. The frustration for those two folks is that they had to foreclose on those properties. So they have now taken back ownership of the first two lots. So where he was historically, kind of from the police car down, although the police car is actually on the side of the road, but from there down, that is now owned back by the owners of the property. Now they're upset that they're being made to come clean up. So I've explained to the one in particular who has been more not happy about it. And when he's talked to me, I mean, we had an unhappy discussion, but that lasted long enough that we turned it into a happier discussion. And I won't go into the details because you don't want them on a record. But it bottom line is I reminded him that, yes, he did make the mess. However, as a person who has the contract on the land sale, the responsibility ultimately goes back to the landowner. And that the landowner is ultimately responsible. And that's true in any case. It ultimately goes back to the land. And in his beef, and I told him I understand, is that how come for 5 years no one wanted him cleaned up, no one cared about cleaning him up, no one cleaned him up, then I get the thing back. 60 days later, it has to be cleaned up. And you guys didn't do a thing for 5 years. So he feels like, well, now that someone that's more responsible gets it, now you're putting the burden on me. And he said, secondly, the guy next to me, which got it back, is still a mess. The county-owned land behind he squatted onto is a mess. And the other owner's land is a mess. So he says, why am I being singled out? And I said, well, you're not being singled out. I've already talked to the other owner, and I just sent an email to the county, and I sent it to their administrator, who's not responded, saying, look, he is not a foreclosure. He trespassed. He has no right to have that stuff on your land. County land. There's not a lease involved. It's not a code violation. It's your land, and he has no lease to ever put anything on it. So you need to tell him to get it off of there, or you go haul it off. It's trespassing. So, you know, it's a kind of a bunch of issues. At the end of the day, he has 6 months to become compliant on the lots that he is currently leasing from a man in Redmond named Art Willett. And Art Willett owns about four lots or three lots that take you down the rest of the way. So that's where we are. And you know, we'll keep working with him, try to get it cleaned up. And he is making progress. I think the problem now is it's those two lots he left have got all that junk on them. So, you know, at the meeting the other day, and I've had some others, and I think maybe Mayor, they've talked to, they say, well, gosh, we want to go out and clean it up. That came up. We'd like to go clean it up. We'd like to help pay for it. And I did mention it to Mr. Hill, and he said, you know, when he came out to visit last week, he said he actually, the owner of the wood yard was actually over on his property picking stuff up, and he didn't know he was coming. So Mr. Hill said, let's just give it a little time here and see. But Mr. Hill told me he will get it cleaned up. He will assume that responsibility and pay for it and do it. So, and I think the guy next door will too. I just need to get back to the realtor. So I think we'll get those two lots cleaned up and then see where we are. You know, there's nothing else I can do.
Okay. Stu?
Comments?
Yeah.
Thank you for the cookies. I hit the spot.
Well, actually, the mayor made those other cookies. He baked all day.
Vicky.
The mayor's.
Vicky made them.
Helper.
Vicky's wife.
Ken's wife. I heard her tell her they're very good. The only thing I have is that attended the Veterans Memorial out at the cemetery this past weekend. It was a very nice ceremony. Attended the Vitality Summit like quite a few other folks did. It was pretty informative. Some good networking, and that same subject was brought up over and over. And you know, that's pretty much it. I do want to invite the council and the citizens out here to the second Wreaths Across America that's going to take place on December 14th at Centennial Park. And I have some flyers here, so I'll give you, make sure you get those.
Are you going to send us an email?
I'll send you an email too.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Greg?
Yeah. I want to thank whoever's responsible for finally getting these working. All you guys that have reminded me, you can't hear me. Yeah, maybe you can. yeah, the Vitality Summit last Friday was really great. They had a lot of good information. And like the other counselors, there was two main, you know, objectives of the public, is get those two spots fixed. They're tired of looking at them and basically see it as a big embarrassment for our city. And I think that's about all I have. Thanks for the cookies, too. They were good.
Karen?
I wanted to ask if you put a receptacle in the front part of the building in your little plan so that people can dump their garbage. Did you forget?
Oh, I'm sitting here thinking electrical. I'm thinking.
I did too.
I was like, we are actually going to make it ready and light up trees. No, we'll put those on the side. Well, actually, what I think we'll do when we're done, we'll get a bench and a garbage can yes. So he's not drawing them in the plan.
Thank you.
Yes, we definitely want to try
that. I'm going to keep reminding.
Oh no, that's a good one. Well, because we already heard we need to get those roll carts down on First Street, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll pick out kind of a design and something here and get a couple benches, like at least one bench and a garbage can, and just see how it works.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
And thank you. And I like the round part, the logo part. That's great. I think that website is looking really good. I think it will be a plus to us. And the other thing is the red building that sits right on 97, almost in the middle. I think we could call it in the middle of town. That used to be, let's see, it was Hawk Haven, then it was
Homestead
Tavern. That looks really bad in there. And it looks like if the kids play around in there, they might fall and break their neck.
The short answer on that, until we have a nuisance ordinance of our own, which even January 1, we won't have a nuisance ordinance because the Planning Commission has to still adopt one. Because you guys haven't adopted one yet. But you talked about it. Kind of a junk ordinance type thing. You guys, had, you know, about a month ago, 2 months ago. But sometime here we'll get one that will do a little. But I did meet with the county in Bend on that issue. And I had about five of them around the table. And they just said, there's just some things we just can't do. They said, well, it's maybe they don't regulate an eyesore with the building code. And yeah, there's a little hole out front. There's a little gravel pile. They said it is not, you would not win in court that it is a hazard to health and life. I say it's ugly, you don't like it, but they just, you know, what else can I do? I mean, we don't want to spend thousands of dollars, you know, going to court, doing all this. So the reality of that project is you have three partners who have basically split with no agreements. The poor gentleman, who was maybe a partner, has the property left to him that now requires $100,000 to get it back to rentable condition. So my guess is that will end up in court, and that will only be resolved through foreclosures, bankruptcies, and lawsuits. And you will just have to write that out at this time. Now, if we get a nuisance ordinance, we can go in, do a little more. But it's probably March, April, before we'd actually have one on the books. Because the Planning Commission has to approve it, and I don't know if it has to come here. But that nuisance ordinance should be a priority for the Planning Commission. So you two commissioners that are here, you need to stay on that. In other words, we're working on other things. You need to get, I'm assuming the council wants a nuisance ordinance.
Yes.
And it has, you guys have to approve it and then recommend it to us.
Deborah has.
She gave you a draft, didn't she?
We haven't had a meeting to do anything with it.
Right.
Since we got the draft. Our last two meetings have been canceled. So we haven't been able to do anything.
Yeah. And then we're getting some Planning Commission members hopefully to fill that back up.
Okay. Mayor's comments are that let's talk about the holiday. Our next meeting is on scheduled for the 27th of this month, and the 28th is a holiday, and I safe in saying we normally don't hold that meeting. We need to hold a special meeting if we needed it. So is it the consensus that we're not going to hold that meeting on the 27th?
I'll be leaving town the 21st.
Okay.
We'll be back till after.
Yeah, so, we don't want one.
So we're in consensus that we won't.
If something pops up.
Yeah.
We spent last Friday, so we had that.
Okay.
I think we shouldn't meet.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the one at Christmas.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that calendar. Have you looked at that? Mm-hmm. We probably wouldn't meet the second meeting in December either.
In December, we're looking at the... have a trusty little calendar here from, well, that's Wilderness Gardens. They're free, by the way, if you don't know, they're free, and they're nice little calendars for your notebooks.
How did you get one?
You weren't looking, and I grabbed four of them.
Do you have a 14 one already?
What?
Is that a 14, 2014 or 13?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, so actually our meeting would be held on the 20th.
On Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Yeah, so we know we're not going to have that one.
Oh, come on. I can be here.
I'll be here.
You don't have presents coming.
You're going to have a lonely time in the room.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. We'll meet that first meeting, and then again, if something popped up. But we should. We'll hopefully just spend, we'll be getting ready for the planning, taking on planning, and all those things.
Everything slows down at Christmas time. Okay.
That's pretty sharp.
Okay. That's really
going. Ashley is in Utah. We've had several calls.
Yes.
And she's learning. She said she's liking it. She's learning the billing software, so the December bills will go out in the new system. We do have to buy another module or two, which one's $3,500. They sent it to me today, and Ashley said, you have to have this because it's for work orders and things. So anyway, some of the add-ons will make this all an integrated system, which will be pretty good. And then when you all got your magazine here, didn't you, from the LOC type magazine? And a lot of you wouldn't know, but they go to the middle pictures, and there is your mayor and your busy city manager sitting there at high level talks with the other city managers in Central Oregon and the other mayors. And I don't know if you saw that, Ken.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you got the mayor of Prineville, the president of the LOC, which is Mayor Redmond, and Redmond's new city manager, myself, Matter city manager, and our lobbyist. The Briggs. Anyways, made the magazine. And so we were working.
Oh, we were. We were.
And last but not least, and I snuck and told these guys, I forgot to say, what have we been working on for a long time that was closed today? The USDA loans from the districts to the city of Lapine after probably $50,000 in legal fees and how long? A long time. They closed. So the loan is now in our name. And so I got the bill from the bonding people today, and they wanted to up it over their estimate, so now I'm in the middle of that one. But they had a nice little conference call with me, so I've got to negotiate that down a little. But at the same time, it did take more work. It drug on, and,
So
So anyway, but that's a long thing. So the loan is now in our name, and so we're done with the USDA, and those legal fees and bills and things can move on after about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Very good. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Wait.